B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Specifying it, he was definitely putting things out there. And I think Marcus wrote it in a way of, read between the lines, he means more than he's saying.
Trey, you just saw the headline to the story.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that he is talking about players. And also, too, now when you say about the coaches, I think he's saying something about the coaches by letting it slide. By not holding some of these guys accountable and stepping in and being like, hey, whoa, I need you to tighten up.
Okay. And he says the one thing, in 2007, we made a lot of mistakes. We committed a lot of penalties, but we still won. It's almost like, what are you saying here?
Okay.
You know, I that doesn't go against players. Who's that go against? I don't know. I'm not, you know, pointing specifically at somebody, but I think he's just leaving it wide open that there might be a myriad of problems going on here.
All right, we'll examine it in a second, but first we got to tell you how you can win maybe, I don't know, some money for yourself here in our Trust the Contest contest.
97.5 The Fanatics Trust the Contest. 5K a day free money giveaway.
Presented by the New Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN.
This hour's keyword is dollar. Dollar. Enter the keyword dollar on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting dollar to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. We'll call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword dollar on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting dollar to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Our Fanatic Trust the Contest 5K a day cash giveaway is presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN. Good luck. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. We've been highlighting it at every top of the hour, and here it is again. Malcolm Jenkins to Marcus Hayes of Inquirer.com, story that got put out today. Malcolm Jenkins says we played with a lot of grit the last 4 weeks of the season. He also says we had a lot of talent in the first few weeks of the season, which, by the way, I don't really agree with because it was really the first week of the season. If we could combine that grit with that talent, we would have been right there, meaning we would have been at a Super Bowl. They would have won the week one of the playoffs, the wild card round of the playoffs against the Seahawks, and they would have played in Green Bay. They would have won in Green Bay, and they would have went on to at least play for a conference championship. So then here's what's interesting, and this is where maybe some of the interpretation comes in, Bob. I asked Jenkins, this is Marcus Hayes speaking in his article, I asked Jenkins if the locker room had a problem with overconfidence, and I stressed to him, says Marcus Hayes, I stressed to him, understand, yes, this is a leading question. Malcolm paused, he folded, he replied, we sometimes relied on our talent and we coasted. How does a team that ended up a season 9-7, barely making it into the playoffs, not being two games over 500 until the last week of the season, how does that team ever get overconfident? So is he talking about what the veteran leadership on the team allowed the team to do, or is he talking about what the coaching staff allowed the team to do? I still err on the side of he's talking about his teammates. I err on that side because he's talking about grit. He's talking about things not changing until the last 4 weeks of the season. And what happened the last 4 weeks of the season? Going into the week 13, was it? Week 14? What did he do? His head coach said, hey, guys, put the pads on. Mm-hmm. We're going to be hitting each other. Next thing you know, they beat the Giants. They beat the Redskins. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Giants again. They won the last 4 weeks of the season because Doug Peterson really flipped the switch with this team and said, guess what? We're going to put the pads on. That turned out to be all they needed. But according to Malcolm Jenkins, I think that he and his teammates are still looking at this team as if it is 2017. As if, oh no, we can just go back to that talent. We can go back to that well of all we got, all we need, underdog, whatever it might be. And that's all we'll really need to push forward, make the playoffs, have a little bit of a push here. I don't think he's talking about coaching there. I think he's talking about the leadership in his locker room. And I'll say this, the quote itself never appears. But Trey, you read the headline also.
Mm-hmm.
The headline was along the lines of, I don't have it right in front of me, but it was something along the lines of, if veterans weren't soft, veterans on this team weren't soft, we'd be in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I didn't read it that way.
It says Malcolm Jenkins says Eagles are close to a title, but only if soft veterans play like gritty backups.
Poof.
You know,
now Marcus doesn't write the headline.
Never, and it never alludes to that at all.
Well, I think you could make an argument, and that's where I side on. You can make an argument that it alludes to it, but that lets you think that there's the quote in the story that says that. So clickety click, they win. But still, this
is gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. But still, it's interesting comments from Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, and one he says later on is we were so talking about 2017. We were so talented, we beat everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That I think was the one that made me think like, oh, is he talking about the coaches? Like we were so talented. That's the reason we won.
Gotcha.
It wasn't because of anything else.
I think it's so wild to go back to even referencing 2017. I think everybody in this city wants to see the Eagles move on from that persona. Like, how many more years can you draw that out? Hey, look, if you want to go with an underdog mentality, congratulations. You have joined every team ever that wanted to call on an underdog mentality. Like, I remember even hearing Tom Brady years ago talk about, oh, you know, we're not supposed to win this game. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, everybody wants to draw on that type of mentality. You want to draw on the all we got, we all we need? Fine. But to reference 2017, you ain't the same team.
Mm.
You're not as good as that team was. You certainly don't have the depth that that team had. Like, you look at the team like that, or maybe you have the depth because of how far down they had to go to the depth chart this year. But you're not that squad anymore. You're not the same. But even the guys that were on that team, you guess what? You're 2, now 3 years older.
You know, I look at it as, yeah, I think he was talking about the players and also, too, with the coaches as well. Because, all right, for Doug to say, all right, you know what, week, what, 13 or 14, we're going to put on the pads. Well, you let a whole lot slide to get to that point. So now you feel like, all right, I got to put the hammer down and make you guys understand the seriousness of this. Well, why wasn't that adjustment made earlier?
Mm-hmm.
And then as players, Yeah, that's right. So as players, you know, where's the grit? Where's the correction when it comes to these plays? When you go back, when I go back and I look at some of the stuff that, you know, when you're getting beat with certain, with elementary games, why wasn't that corrected day one?
Right.
You know, when you're not switching stuff off the right way, if you're not picking up a corner blitz, if you're getting picked apart with tackles, ETs, games that you've been getting beat with since 2017. You know, so why weren't those corrections made? Why weren't the corrections made as also players taking accountability of their performance, watching it on film, and as also to the coaching? So, yeah, Doug had to say, all right, you know what? We got to get back to putting these pads on. But, yeah, maybe you should have done that a little earlier. And also to the players, hey, man, the coach shouldn't have to tell you in week 14 if you have the leaders that's supposed to be in that locker room to hold each other accountable.
That's how I see it, and I agree with you there. I just think that when Malcolm talks about all the turmoil that went on throughout the season of guys showing up late for practice, guys showing up late for meetings, whatever it might have been, Lane Johnson airing the grievances after the loss to the Cowboys, he focuses on that. Like, Marcus does a good job of outlining all the kind of drama, turmoil, whatever you want to call it, that happened throughout the season. That even further makes me think it wasn't all because of injuries that they lost this season, that they got bounced out of the first round of the playoffs, that they were 9-7. I mean, you think about one more win, they could have rested their starters in week 17. Not that helped the Ravens at all, but still, you could have done that. You could have been a substantially better team if you just took care of the BS. The injuries sometimes, yeah, maybe the medical staff needs to do a better job. They certainly do. Let's throw maybe out of the equation there. They absolutely do. But all the other stuff that was a lot more controllable, they didn't control.
Now, keep in mind, when Lane is talking about this, he's talking about somebody on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, sure.
He's talking about, because, I mean, he doesn't see who's showing up late in the meetings on the defense side.
Right.
He's talking offense right there. So who are your leaders that's letting that slide? And also, too, coach.
Jason Peters.
Also, too, as a coach,
sorry, sneezed.
Why are you letting that slide?
Right.
Trey, how much, when you're in an offensive line group, obviously when you're on the field, the whole team's together, how much of your time away from the field is strictly with other offensive linemen? Your offensive group compared to like the whole offense being together. Like when you're watching film and all that, is it 50-50 you're with strictly offensive linemen? 50 you're with the whole offense?
For the most part of it, I would say almost 80% you're with your offensive line unit. You rarely watch film as an entire unit.
Okay, so that you gave me the answer I was expecting, and it's clear he's talking about somebody on that offensive line.
Jason Peters. Thank you very much.
That is perceived as a leader who's maybe viewed as a close friend of the owner, who's perceived as a guy who has his own special practice routine, warm-up routine that's different from the rest of the team that maybe can take some luxuries that other players can't because he's known as a bodyguard and intimidates the hell out of people? Maybe he's kind of pointing...
I don't know.
I mean, I'm just reading between the lines here, and that's what I'm reading.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think maybe Jason Peters, I don't want to say overstayed his welcome, but I think maybe the things that he does that differentiates from the rest of the team wore it out.
Yeah. And you know what else? Like, Mark, you bring up the injuries. What Lane Johnson said also could have led to injuries. If guys are late, if guys aren't showing up on time, maybe they're not showing up to their weightlifting sessions, you know, on time. Or maybe, you know, they're a couple minutes late and they miss a stretch or they miss something of this, you know, or that. That could lend to injury, too. If you're not getting yourself fully prepared, like Trey's told us about, then that's when these injuries happen. And if these guys aren't all in, then you're all out because you get injured, you're done.
All right, so coming up, I'll go over again another name that is going to be highly controversial over this week here in Philadelphia. We'll get to that. A little bit later, the Sixers, why can't they beat the Mavericks?
Or just win on the road.
Winning on the road would be nice. Yeah. That's always fun.
They got another one today.
They got another one today. They're right back at it against the Pacers, so cool. The Pacers always give them trouble, but they can't beat the Mavericks. You have I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. You don't have Kristaps Porzingis two nights ago, and you still can't take care of business against the Mavericks.
You had
Kristaps Porzingis.
Just check out 45 threes and call it a day.
Yeah, I guess that's the way they do things. And turnovers wasn't even that big of a deal. Go figure. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We got Chris. We got Kevin. Open lines after that. Chris, you're first up on the other side. Time of the Fanatic is 8:11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey Bob, I think I found the answer to your question here, according to Field Yates, as to why Corey Unlund got a nice little promotion for himself.
Yeah, that seemed odd to me, but go ahead.
Corey Unlund and Matt Patricia, obviously the Lions head coach, started their NFL careers together as coaching assistants on the Patriots in 04.
Well, there you have it.
Ah, there it is. Familiar face.
There
it
you go.
Really is such a fraternity.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
no, I mean, I get it. It's not like the worst thing in the world, but it's unbelievable. Like, it's a nice sense of job security for a lot of these guys.
Corey Unlund, I remember, came in on Chip's staff in 2015, and I was like, oh, this guy, guru. I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah, he's really good at teaching you to play 15 yards off the ball and allow nice pockets for them to easily catch balls in front of them. And part of that's on Jim Schwartz.
He's the guy calling the play, but the guy coaching those guys that are executing the play?
Yeah, like, hey, guys, I know what Jim's telling you to do. Get up and play, man.
Yeah, he didn't do that.
Yeah.
Although I'd like to see, I would have loved to have seen him try. That's a fight I want to see on the sideline. Jim Schwartz versus anybody.
Yeah. So, the Jim Schwartz haters, he's here.
He's here. The run defense hopefully stays as good as it was last year, with the pass defense getting better, right? That's all we can really wish for.
You guys all expect a move this week on offensive coordinator?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. What, O'Connell just got hired, or O'Donnell just got hired? No, O'Connell just got hired out in...
was it L.A.?
I think it was the Rams.
Yeah, I think... the Washington offensive coordinators tend to do decently in the NFL.
Yeah, they do. But did you notice Sean McVay hired the one guy that he could be like the grandfather to?
Yeah, he's 34, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you about seniority. I'm a full 5 years older than you.
Give me Jim Caldwell, please.
I would love to see it happen. I just don't think it does. I'd love to see it happen because I don't think Jim Caldwell will go somewhere where he's not going to call plays.
Yeah, but his chance of succeeding here compared to succeeding in Miami is drastically improved.
So then you have another offensive coordinator in a year?
I mean, yeah.
Because he could get another head coaching job based on how he does with Carson Wentz.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, before I go back to the phones and Chris has been holding, I'm going to go to him 1 second. The name I've been reminding everybody around this time, every hour, to keep track of this one name. Jeffrey Simmons. He's the next Jadeveon Clowney. He's the next fine watch throughout the season, throughout the postseason.
He's carrying that torch.
Bob, I'm not alone here. People are they're pissed off that Jadeveon Clowney did not at least get fined. And now you have Jeffrey Simmons, who had almost an identical hit to Lamar Jackson in the Titans-Ravens game. I believe it was early in the second quarter, where he hit him late and hit him with his helmet. We're going to see if he gets fined. Also, no flag. If he gets fined and Jadeveon Clowney does not, it's more right for us. It more justifies our right to be pissed off.
Except for coming from a little bit of a different angle. It was so similar, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the other part of this, the other part of this is that when people found out about Jadeveon Clowney not getting fined on Friday, it was reigniting people being pissed off. And I even tweeted out, right, the play itself and how the NFL botched it. But the other part is that people will now call Philadelphians that bitch about this play. They're like Saints fans. And that does not, I don't know of too much that could enrage me more than an awful comparison, because Saints fans were upset about a pass interference call. We're upset about head trauma. Like, there's two totally different things. I could get somebody being, and we're also not petitioning the league to change how they call the plays or call the rules and all that.
We're not going to have a parade.
We're not going to wear officials uniforms and officials jerseys to games. No, we're not going to do that.
All right.
But I think concussions and helmet to helmet contact is a little bit more egregious than pass interference. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say I'm more concerned about a person's brain than a little ticky tack pass interference. Going to go out on a limb there.
Yeah, ticky-tack pass interference that cost him to run to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's been thousands of them. This is helmet to helmet. This is a crusade the NFL's taken under for 10 years, and they just look the other way. See if they do it again with Jeffrey Simmons of the Titans. Chris in Jersey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I totally agree with you. I mean, if Wentz is already going down to the ground, there's no reason to do the helmet to helmet. There's no reason. He's already down. The play's pretty much over. It's like, dude, come on. Mm. That's not good.
I agree with you. And I know that a lot of people just say that this is football now, but it's modern day football has changed over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I understand that. But and no call? What are you out of your mind? The officials sucked, man.
That should have been a penalty. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody says it's not going to make a difference because Wentz is going to be out of the game, which is cool but it's good for his head. You get a head injury, you don't want to risk it. Of course, but that just sucked, man. That deflated the whole stadium, man. And I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm a Flyer fan, so don't hang up on me.
Why would we?
No, because if I say, "Well, I'm a Raider fan," you're like, "Ah, click."
I don't care about the Raiders, so I really
I'm not jealous of them at all
either anymore because I'm so angry because Gruden, whatever. Anyway, I wanted to ask you guys a question. You guys were talking about Deuce Daly and everything. Like being an offensive coordinator. Now, what if you brought up? Now he's the running backs coach, right?
Yep. Yeah,
and assistant coach.
Okay, what if you brought up Brian Westbrook
to do what?
Bring to be the running back coach? Because he kicked butt.
I don't know if Westbrook would want to coach. I've never heard Westbrook.
Chris, I'll tell you right now, I'll champion that cause. For Brian Westbrook to be our running backs coach.
As long as
we don't lose him here.
Westbrook's a pretty boy now. He just wants to be on TV and stuff. He doesn't want to do the grind of coaching.
He's on the Mikey Miss show every Friday.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on. I listen to it every day on the way home, man. And it's like, all right, but why not? What's your guys' opinion,
Chris,
on that?
If Brian Westbrook wants to be the running back coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm on board.
Hell yeah, man.
There you go. Right. All right, thanks, Chris.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, buddy. So that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I don't know.
But if he wanted to do it, I'd be for it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't think. Because coaching is a grind, man.
You would know.
And I don't know. We've never had a conversation saying, hey, man, I wouldn't mind getting into coaching.
Let's say this. It's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I wouldn't mind. Like people say, oh, Chip, or you know, what's the name that always, Chase Utley should manage the Phillies. I'd be fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
He should be their hitting coach. Sure. He's never going to want to do it.
No.
But I don't care. If you're just asking me to fish a wish, if you're telling me what I'd like, yeah, I'd like Chase Utley to be coach of the Phillies or be a hitting coach or whatever it might be. A hustle coach? I don't know. Like, but it's never going to happen. He's doing fine.
Yeah.
And B-West is doing fine. And no, I don't want to lose him here at the Fanatic.
Yeah. I can't turn on the TV without seeing him on there all the time anymore.
Chase Utley was playing virtual golf this weekend.
He was.
Yeah.
By the way, you see what happened to our mutual friend?
Oh, yeah. Dan?
A friend of ours took his dad to the virtual golf.
The White Marsh Valley just got one of the virtual courses. And he went with his dad and almost died.
Wait, what happened?
He topped it.
His dad's a really good player.
Oh, yeah. No. He hit his dad?
No. Well,
the dad almost killed the son.
Yeah, people almost died. And basically,
almost went up in flames.
Actually, I don't know if you can get a team. No, I'm just kidding. You can totally get a team. But no, he topped it. It hit off like one of the dividers and came
rocketing back.
Like, I would say, how fast does a bullet go?
Yeah.
It was faster than that.
Yeah.
Oh, it like, would have went like right through your brain.
Yeah. It was scary looking.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It's pretty wild. Tyreek on a cell. What's up, Tyreek?
Hey, what's going on, Mark?
Hey, man.
Hey, dude. No, you know what? I've been listening to you always listen to the show every day, man. And ever since the whole incident with Vince Clowney happened, I've been listening to you, and I was with you, you know. But at this particular point, I'm over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. Nothing happens. Nothing changed.
Sure.
I'm pissed that my team is home watching everybody else.
Okay, all right. Let me just introduce this little theory, Tyreek. Okay, let me just introduce this little theory. Because I was over it, and then I saw he wasn't fine. I was pissed off. I tweeted my tweet, and I was done. But then, on Saturday, I see this play unfold with Jeffrey Simmons of the Titans, and he hits Lamar Jackson. And I'm just thinking, okay, Jeffrey Simmons, he better not get fined either, because if he gets fined and Clowney does not, I'm enraged.
Well, I get you.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
I got you. That's a principle point.
Thank you.
And so I'm with you on a principle, but I'm just, like I say, when I hear it, it just takes me back to the game, takes me back to when it happened, and takes me back to how I felt when I seen McCown coming in. Damn, it's over. All right, so that's where I was at with it. So when I hear you talk about it, it just brings that up. And like I had the same conversation with my friends, they argue me down. Oh, I'm telling you, if he got fined, then what? My man is still out. It doesn't change anything.
Right.
I'm still watching McCown. You know, I'm still watching Drek, basically. You know, so it's like, all right, I get it. But no, I heard it this morning. I was like, I got to call and talk to my man, Mark. It's principle. I get it. But it don't change the fact we're back out there. And I'm on 95 now, right past the link now. It don't change.
Tyreek, we are men of principle, are we not?
Yes. And I'm all for it. I just get pissed when I see the neon green up here, and it's going to be like this till next year.
I hear you, man. Thanks for the call, brother.
No problem.
A man's got to have a code.
Exactly. I'm a man of principle. That's all I'm saying.
It's principality.
Done. Exactly.
It's the great Omar.
See? That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying right here. And it will bother me. It will needle me. Will I lose sleep over it? Absolutely not. But what I might lose sleep over is, again, the Malcolm Jenkins comments, because we still haven't really... Jamie, you haven't weighed in yet as far as who he's talking about. Is he talking about coaching or is he talking about players?
I think it's both. I do. I think there was some early season problems in that locker room between Josina, the Fink rat, narc.
Alshonimus, as Jimmy Kemsky put it, yes.
Driving a wedge in that locker room. I think it definitely caused some ripples and some after effect where people may have started questioning some people. And they do a very good job of keeping it in-house, except for Josina and whoever her source is. And I say that with eyes rolled.
Yeah, right.
So I do think there was some serious ripple effects from that. So I think it was part, you know, some players and part maybe he didn't agree with the coaching all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was two-parted, like pretty much both guys have said.
I think that anybody in the NFL is smart enough to realize it's never one thing. But
yeah.
I would say if it's of the two, coaching or his teammates, I go teammates over coaching. And the real reason I do that is because in the story, he says the first few weeks, you know, we had talent. And then he says, if we combined that grit with that talent, we'd be right there.
I think, I know, 100% he's calling out what he perceives as some soft players.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
100%.
And that's how,
this
I guess.
This is a man that's played 99.4% of all snaps since he's been here right. and still wants to be out there on special teams. Of course he's calling out soft players.
And that's apparently how the editor took the story as well, putting the headline together of, you know, soft players. Would if it wasn't for soft veterans, the Eagles would be right there. That's the one thing that they saw. But the word soft never appears in the story. So again, a little clickbait, but they got me. But it's rather interesting.
I can read.
What? I just went to the page and searched soft. Nope, didn't appear.
Control F soft. Nope. All right.
I'm out.
I'm done.
But no, so he goes on to talk about really how they relied on their talent and that led them to coast sometimes. And that also leads me to believe, well, this team still thinks they're as good as 2017. They still think they're Super Bowl champions. They still think, even despite losing last year, they still think they are defending that title. Like, and you just can't do that. You have to acknowledge you're not that same team anymore.
That's how dynasties are made. That's how, you know, champions are goats are made, is they win once, and that's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they know how to handle it. And there's something to be said. You know, you win a championship. A lot of people don't know how to react to that, whether it be a coach, a general manager, players, whoever it may be. You're doing something you've never done before. How you react to that is brand new to you also. As much as you want to say, oh, status quo, we just keep moving on, we put that behind us. We all know that's not the case. We saw it with Cole Hamels in 2009. We saw it with a lot of people. You know, it's hard to bounce back from it. And the ones who do it quicker are the ones that become the New England Patriots, the Tom Brady's, the Golden State Warriors. You know, those great, great dynasties know how to get past the championship and move on to another one.
All right, so let's make this our Twitter poll here in the final hour and a half of the show here. Let's make this a Twitter poll. Who is Malcolm Jenkins referencing more so, coaches or his teammates? That's what we'll make the Twitter poll today. We sometimes rely on our talent and we coast. I think he talks about his players there, his fellow teammates, and also talking about how they were talented in the first few weeks of the season, and if they combine that talent with some grit, they'd be right there, meaning at least fighting for a conference championship. I think that, and also another thing Marcus does in the story, Marcus Hayes of Inquirer.com, is talk about how everybody, every ounce of drama that really surrounded this season, from Alshon Jeffrey to Lane Johnson talking about maybe Jason Peters not going to meetings on time, maybe not practicing as much, like really all the drama that surrounded this season. But really what it comes back to and what infuriates me 1,000 times more than anything that's out of our control, like Jadeveon Clowney, for instance, is obviously what's in our control. And that is how well these players play on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And when you have guys drop balls that were supposed to be capitalizing on opportunities, like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, what second-round pick wouldn't want to get more reps, wouldn't want to get more snaps? And he got a hell of a lot of snaps out there on the football field and never took advantage of them. What about a guy like Greg Ward? He actually took advantage of his opportunities. Nelson Agholor, again, fell by the wayside this year. Alshon Jeffrey actually didn't play terrible. But you know what? Earlier in the season, when he was actually healthy, he was averaging about 10 yards per reception, the fewest in his career. So where was that next step forward for him? Like, guys just underachieved throughout the year. And when you talk about that drama, the off-the-field stuff, that's all stuff that should be policed in the club or in the locker room, mm-hmm. either by coaches or by the veteran players. So you look at poor play on the field, and then I guess poor leadership, and yeah, maybe poor coaching off the field as well.
Isn't Malcolm Jenkins kind of pointing the finger at himself then?
Absolutely.
If it's a player? Yeah,
but soft?
Yeah.
Coasting? I don't look at Malcolm Jenkins ever as a guy that coasts.
No, but I mean, if he's a leader of this team, which yeah. he is, mm-hmm. and guys are doing that, why didn't he fix it too?
Right. Why didn't he step
he's
up?
He's never going to step across the line,
so,
first of all. He's never going to step on the other side of the field. You know, unless it's someone that he has a really good rapport with.
Right.
But, you know, and then it depends on who the leaders are that you're having a problem with.
Or maybe saying, why the hell didn't the coach fix it until too late, too?
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, like, mm-hmm. and again, we're just throwing stuff out there. I don't know any of this to be factual. But, yeah, I kind of read it that way too.
Your interpretation.
Slanted eye at the coach also.
Okay.
Also, yeah.
All right, Sam, let's make this the Twitter poll then. You know, who is Malcolm Jenkins referencing? Is he talking about players, or is he talking about teammates, or is he talking about coaches? When it comes to the comments made in Marcus Hayes' column on Inquirer.com today, is he talking about his teammates, or is he talking about coaches? We played with a lot of grit the last 4 weeks of the season. We had talent the first few weeks. If we could combine that grit with talent, we'd be right there. Put that quote right there in the question. Who's he talking about here? If we combine grit with talent, we'll be right there. Is he blaming coaches for not succeeding or teammates? And again, I just can't help but think that he goes more after the teammates because there was so much BS. And Trey, you've talked about this a number of times. Mm. And Bob, this goes to your point as well. The best people to police a locker room are the veterans.
Yeah.
It's not the coaches. And I give Doug a lot of credit for having his finger on the pulse of the team and knowing when to, I guess, click in that or call in that pads practice and all that stuff. Yeah, maybe he should have done it earlier, but maybe he was waiting for his leaders, guys that have done a great job of leading this team. Maybe he was waiting for those guys to step up. For whatever reason, it didn't happen.
That Doug was waiting on some of the leaders to step up?
Yeah, because, I mean, as you've said many times, it's really a matter of the players leading the locker room, policing the locker room, and then the coach will come in when he really feels as if something needs to change. Mm-hmm. And something needed to change in the last 4 weeks of the season. Otherwise, they wouldn't even made the playoffs.
Yeah, some of the things I look at is when you look at some of the corrections that had to be made, I look at some of that as coaching. All right, coaching, hey, you need to pick this up now, you know. There's certain stuff that just needs to be corrected through practice because the players, they're just grinding, just trying to get through practice. The only person that's going to say, hey, let's run that play again is the coach. Mm. You know, unless the player really feels really strong about what just happened to say, hey, man, you know what? We need to run that again. I need to get a good feel for it again. Normally it is the coach, or even when it's, you know, like this is one of the things that Juan, man, he worked us, man. Like, even when you had, when we weren't supposed to be going, because the way practice goes, you have your offensive run 15, 20 plays, and then defensive run 15, 20 plays. So your starters or whatever. So your scout team guys would be out there doing work, and then while they're doing work, Juan would have us off on the side getting extra reps in and stuff. So it was constantly, there was no, you know, throughout that whole hour, 2 hour practice, we rarely had any downtime because it was always, all right, here we go again. You know, Are some of those TEs, ET stuff that you see are having problems? Why isn't that being corrected during those downtimes? You're allowing guys to take a knee, get some water. Well, you could be correcting this stuff. So, you know.
There was clearly a lot of offensive problems this year. I mean, if you listen to this show, we called for Mike Groh's head like starting week three. Is it possible Malcolm Jenkins is seeing not even his side of the ball, like clear issues that we're seeing, and he's going, why aren't you suiting this to Carson Wentz's strengths more?
Look, it's all out there on the table. It's all possible.
Yeah, I mean, we're playing an unanswerable game here, but that just entered my mind. Like, maybe he was watching the offense at times going, what the hell, man? We're doing the best we can with scrap metal back here. You guys got to be better offensively, and what the hell are you doing, Mike Groh?
Yeah, but I mean, there's also a lot of scrap metal on the offensive side of things as well. Yeah.
But not as much as the first 6 weeks of the season, you didn't have a defensive backfield.
Right, yeah. And then it was like they traded off.
Yeah.
It was just like, all right, now our guys will be injured.
Now we suck. You guys
turn.
Take it.
It's our turn to take time off. Bye.
Yeah.
We have an update on the Westbrook coaching.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Per sources?
Per sources directly named Brian Westbrook?
Yeah. He sent me out.
He's now going to be, he's taking over for Corey Unlin, actually.
He sent me.
Well, his brother was a defensive back, so he probably coached him up his entire life. So there you go.
He sent me money emojis. Money, 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 and ha ha. So I'm kidding around, Brian Westbrook,
Now let's start that rumor. Sam, put this in your update. Brian Westbrook, no, I was kidding. 610-632-0975. By the way, I did not start a rumor earlier, but apparently a listener of the show dimed me out to my wife.
Oh, I like it.
Via what platform?
Uber.
The driver?
Yeah. Apparently the Uber driver that drove my wife to work today, Edward. Hey, Edward, what's up, buddy?
Thanks, Edward.
Thanks, Ed. No, apparently, I don't know. I guess my wife mentioned that, oh, that's my husband or whatever on the radio. I don't know why she'd admit to it. But and he goes, oh, yeah, he was calling you a slow walker earlier.
That's not half as bad as the stuff as you say off the air. So that's good.
That is good.
Oh, no.
Wow. Edward, congratulations. Bobby. You're only the second biggest snitch now.
I'm just
title
kidding.
Taken by Bobby. 610-632. Yeah, I know. 610-632-0. Just kidding, but seriously. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We got JR. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic. Oh, when we come back, talk about crazy wide receivers. New England might have the craziest, and I can't wait
for
more.
That?
I can't wait for more details to come out about this. Time of the Fanatic, 8:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. I don't think any other details have come out about this story yet, but it is bonkers. Julian Edelman.
Oh, yeah. What the hell?
According, now I saw Ian Rappaport's tweet go out, and then TMZ also had it. Julian Edelman was arrested 9 p.m. Saturday night in Beverly Hills. The city's police department said, confirming a TMZ report, charged with vandalism after Edelman jumped onto a driver's vehicle causing damage. He was cited and scheduled to appear at the airport courthouse on April 13th.
Maybe it was Christian McCaffrey who stole his girl. And he was like, hey, you!
Is that what happened?
I don't know. I'm just making that up.
Wait, who was his girl?
Oh, wait.
Olivia Culpo?
Oh, the model.
Yeah. She's
Culpo
ridiculous.
Or whatever. Yeah.
I didn't know she was with McCaffrey.
I would describe her as lovely. She's lovely.
She is
very nice looking.
Very pretty lady.
I know my wife's listening right now. I find her to be responsible.
Well, Ed, the Uber driver, might dime you out anyway.
That, you know what?
Yeah.
Ed. Edward.
Talked about this.
One star.
Pretty weird. Would you say if I said an over under on blood alcohol level
for Julian Edelman?
Yeah, of like 0.21. Taking over or under?
That's almost over. Dead, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost dead.
Over.
Yeah, I would go over too.
Just his beard is that drunk.
So he just jumped on somebody's car.
Okay, yeah, I don't know the rest
and
of the
And it was
details.
A Mercedes.
Yes.
Yeah, so he just jumped on the hood of a Mercedes.
I don't know what possessed
him. Was the car moving?
I would have, if I had to guess in my head, it's outside a bar, restaurant, /hotel, and maybe moving slow. I'd have to guess 5 to 7 miles an hour at max.
But airport courthouse?
Oh, airport.
Unless there's like an airport county in Beverly Hills. I don't know.
I don't know.
I just assume that's Los Angeles County.
Maybe that's how he showed up at the airport, just riding on top of somebody's car. I don't know.
These Patriot wide receivers party, man.
Yeah.
Remember Wes Welker at the Kentucky Derby like 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just throwing money around. Was he wearing an orange suit?
Something like that,
it's in my brain that he's wearing an orange suit.
Yeah, I saw that headline. I go, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just jump on somebody's car. Just on the hood of the car. I mean, on the roof of the car.
So many questions.
Yeah, I really want the details on this.
If anyone's listening via stream, by the way, we're having stream issues today. Our apologies. Yeah. But if anyone is listening from out there in California, I'd love to know more details.
Was it a rental car? Was it ghost riding the whip?
My guess is somebody yelled something at him.
Was he skitching?
It was at 9 p.m. Saturday night.
Yeah. He got a day load and thought it was funny. I think that's all the explanation we're going to get.
Yeah, it might be.
So day drunk?
Yeah, it might just be that
it was
case.
An all day.
Yeah, because that's 9 p.m. That's early.
Yeah, that's pretty early.
Yeah.
The peak that early, you know. Wow.
For a non-dad, that's real early.
Yeah, it's real early.
Right now, that's like late for me.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, I'm like, hey, man.
I'm done.
James like, what was he doing out that late? 9 p.m.? What, is he crazy? Was he in a fraternity? That's pretty bonkers. Sam Wilson, go give us the official Twitter poll question, please.
Call me off guard. Okay, who is Jenkins criticizing here? And his quote, we sometimes rely on our talent and we coast. Doug Peterson, teammates, or Howie Roseman, we just have under 500 votes so far. 73% say teammates.
Yeah, they go to the teammates.
Yes, and then it's close for second. So second place is technically Howie Roseman at 14%, but close behind Doug Peterson at 13.
No, we just kind of put Howie on there just because we're like ripping Howie right now.
Yeah.
I don't think.
But he's second.
Yeah, he's second. Go figure. Let's get JR and Exton. What's up, JR?
Yo.
Hey, what's happening?
You got Malcolm Jenkins coming out saying something about sauce. You got a bunch of ticky-tack injuries all year long. You got guys refusing to come back, everything else. Either your medical staff is crap, but that's for another time. I just think the quarterback is soft. The dude took himself out.
Out
of the biggest game.
Right.
JR, let somebody go. What do you do for a living, JR, if you don't mind me asking?
Construction.
All right, have a 280-pound guy bash your head into the ground. You feel concussed. Tell me you're going to stay at work if you're seeing double and you're in charge of all this heavy equipment.
That's not even close, dude. This guy's
Why?
Making a gazillion dollars.
So what? If he can't perform, he can't perform.
Wait, stop screaming like a homer and listen to knowledge.
When you have it, I'll listen to it, all right?
You sound like Mike Missanelli now.
When you have it, I'll listen to it, JR.
Okay, well, here you go, dude. Here it is. If you watch the play, he goes down, hits him with the shoulder, slides up to the head. Carson gets a face full of dirt. He gets up, he walks off the field. Doesn't look that bad. What's he do? He goes over, he sits down. Oh, Cal, I don't feel so good. And he yanks himself out of the biggest game of his career. That's all.
Okay.
All right, let's just look at some other facts then. Carson Wentz played with no ligaments holding his knee together and threw a touchdown pass against the Rams. Is that soft?
Yeah, he's soft.
Anybody that's ever had ligaments blown in their knees knows that it only hurts for the first couple of minutes and then it goes away.
Okay.
And you're a football player. You're making hundreds of millions of dollars.
Okay.
You're supposed to be out there with that crap.
Okay. All right. He fractures his back last year and still plays four more games at least. And by the way, has a, I believe at the time, the fifth highest passer rating in the NFL.
And Tony Romo played for 9 years with broken bones in his back. It's not that hard. They're little bones.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.